This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more.
Today on the show, I'm still in Europe, so this is the third of four pre-recorded episodes. Producer Pat joins me for the third week in a row.
What the hell, times three?
Plus, we've got crazy historical facts, ranking stuff, and your questions answered, all that and more on 20th Century Boy, the only podcast that actually sounds the same if you listen in reverse. Try it out. To 20th Century Boy, my name is Euro Mike, and this is the inside of my mind. Okay, so at this point in time, I've been in Europe for 3 weeks, okay? Currently, I'm in London. It's September 28th, day of release, and I am currently, today, probably while you're listening to this, well, probably not because of the time zone difference, but today, I am going to the Harry Potter studio tour in London,
no, which is awesome.
Producer Pat's here. Welcome. Thank
Hello.
You again.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you back. How have you felt? Because I've obviously been gone now for 3 weeks and you've been in Melbourne all that time. I guess, how have you, predict how you think you'll feel about that?
Probably a weird feeling because I come to meet you every week to work. And so I'm probably feeling your lack of presence and feeling mildly disturbed by that.
Oh, don't be disturbed, man. There's no disturbance. It's, you know, I'll be back before you know it. We'll be working together again.
I'll just be normal disturbed looking at your face.
Okay, that was terrible. Welcome back to the show, everyone. But yeah, I guess at this stage I've been in London. Actually, I'm on the sort of towards the end of the trip now. It means in the last week I've been to Paris and I've been to Disneyland. You would have heard all of this on the TCB World Tour bonus episodes.
Very jealous.
I would have been to Disneyland, which will be awesome. And then Harry Potter today.
How do you have fun?
Going to West End in 2 days from now, real time. So really cool. I'm sure I've been having fun. I could be depressed. I could also be dead. You never really know. It would be crazy if I was dead. Don't you think it would be?
Say that.
No, it would actually be really eerie if I was actually dead.
Imagine, right? Like if you died mid-flight and like you, like,
don't
I'm like,
say that.
Oh my God. Sorry, not mid-flight. As in like, sorry, mid-trip. And like, oh my God, like I'm just so distraught. I can't work. And then this podcast comes up and everyone's like, what the fuck? He's back from the dead?
Self-fulfilling prophecy. I hate that we've done this. I hate that we've said this. I'm sure I'm having a lot of fun. I will be back soon. But I've really enjoyed, you know, this is the third of four bulkies. I've really enjoyed having you here, man.
Man, it's been really fun. I hope the listeners haven't found me too obnoxious.
No, you're not too obnoxious. You're just the perfect amount of obnoxious.
I'm just Pat.
You're just Pat.
I'm just Pat. Sorry.
Should we do start with our listener questions? As always, you guys have been sending in questions for me to read during this bulk period. What do we got up first, Pat?
Today's first listener topic comes in from Radio Maple. Welcome to the Radio Family Radio Maple. We're very happy to have you here.
I should interrupt as well. If you do like hearing me and Pat, of course, once we're back, the Patreon, patreon.com/RadioMike. The Pat and Mike show does come out every Friday. And there's probably nearly 100 episodes backlog of that.
There is. And also, let me just say off the bat, something that we should have thought of beforehand for marketing. There's episodes available for as little as a dollar of the older seasons. But the new season, I think, is in the strongest and best form. So we encourage you to hop on that tier. But yeah, hop on and have some fun.
And again, we're an independent pod. So the Patreon is sort of the only money we bring in. It helps pay Pat. Would love to have Pat on every episode here, but it's like currently not financially viable. So
if you surprisingly enjoy me and you want me to be on more, then please hop on the Patreon. Patreon.com/RadioMike.
If you like Pat, go on the Patreon. If you hate Pat and don't want more of him, don't go on the Patreon. In fact, drop off the Patreon, but we don't encourage that.
Yeah.
We work on the assumption that people like Pat, but we really can't be sure.
If you don't like me, just hate send Mike some money anyway.
Yeah, hate send me money, which I won't use to pay Pat.
Yeah,
I will specifically use it for only anti-Pat purposes. So what could I buy? Are you allergic to anything?
I don't have any allergies.
Okay.
I don't know. You could buy Claire maybe like a Club Penguin thing.
No, like I would want to buy something that is designed to keep you away.
Oh,
like a trap. Like a trap. I'll build, if I get enough money, okay, here's the thing. If enough people go on the Patreon, I will build a Pat trap that when Pat, when Bat comes to my house and knocks on the door and I open it, he'll step into my house and he will step into a trap and something bad will happen to him. So that's what, if you hate Pat, but if you like Pat, I won't do that.
You know what you should invest in? What? And this will just be
Pat
a quick.
Traps?
Do you remember those old Spy Gear toys?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, just get like a million of those. Because like, sure, because they're not like real actual like traps, but sure, if you've got like maybe like 100 of them, do you think that'd actually be like kind of functional?
Here's another question that's totally unrelated to that. If we get enough patrons, would you let me cover you in ketchup? Or just something stupid like that? Like,
I will do that for $1,000.
As in like if
you and me get $1,000 each, you can cover me with almost anything you want.
There you go, guys. Be creative.
Patreon.com/RadioMike.
You would let the patrons cover you in cum? You would
I said almost anything.
You would do a bukkake for $2,000. We now know Pat's bukkake price. Okay, read the fucking.
I should have risen my price.
Read the question.
Okay, this comes in from Radio Maple. Radio Maple, I'm so sorry. Maple says, since you like Pokemon, a in-depth view of what got you into the original series and how you believe it's affected 90s kids and yourself.
Okay. I really wanted to do this question because, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were a bit after, like you weren't super into it, were you?
Yeah. So again, for those who don't know, I'm 23 years old, born in 2000. Pokemon was very much present in my childhood and, you know, in that culture and that zeitgeist. I remember, you know, the games, I didn't play any, but I remember like, you know, the advertising and, you know, other people collecting the cards and stuff. But, you know, the show wasn't that big. I guess it kind of got big early 2000s when I was probably in like kinder.
Okay. Gotcha. So for me, like, I'm going to say to this day, I still love Pokemon, everything about it. And it's definitely, if I had to actually think of poignant pop culture moments of my life, I would argue that Pokemon is like the first thing I remember liking as a fan, as a cultural thing. And I think the question is like what got me into it and as a moment, like as a pop culture moment and kind of thing. And like, here's the thing, like I don't remember it ever not being a part of my life. Like that's the weird part. I can't remember being conscious and having memory and being able to think and not Pokemon being a part of that. Right. Like, and it was a phenomenon, still is. I mean, it's still like one of the high, I think it's the highest grossing franchise in the world, but I actually think I read somewhere that Winnie the Pooh took over it recently.
That's really interesting.
I think it's because the character became public domain, so more people True. Were able to use it. But anyway, the thing about Pokemon is like, I was there when those first games came out. Red, blue in Australia. But I was more like, I was more the golden, silver and crystal generation, which was generation two. And I think, you know, most people who are my age, particularly boys, because at that stage it was definitely more targeted at boys. The handheld console was actually called a Game Boy. Like it was very, gaming was very marketed towards boys. It wasn't till like maybe the mid 2000s they realized that yes, girls do want to play games and girls want the same entertainment styles as boys. Anyway, I just remember being a kid. I remember the TV show. I remember seeing the first episode of the TV show. I remember everyone at school talking about it. I remember the Game Boy games. I remember having Pokemon Stadium on Nintendo 64. I remember having the official Pokemon handbook book, little sort of Pokemon novels that used to get written, stickers, the CD, like going to the cinema with my brother and my cousins to watch Pokemon the first movie. My dad took us the same way. That was a moment the same way like Avengers Endgame was a moment. Like, we were like, oh my God, there is a Pokemon movie. I cannot believe it. And continued playing the games. Oh, and of course, the cards. I actually think Pokemon cards were like the biggest part. And I still have my original Pokemon card collection, which was a story arc on this podcast a few years ago.
Oh, that's right. Right.
The listeners of this show helped me complete it.
Wow.
Now, I think, I don't know what it is, but like, I mean, I reckon every boy my age would have played Pokemon in some capacity. I don't know why it stuck with me so much. I think, you know, as this podcast is like, I just always was fascinated by, similar to you, Pat, like I was fascinated by stuff that was, that I remembered. I think the internet opened this door of like, you could look up stuff that you remembered vaguely as a kid and find out like the stories behind it. Like, whether it be TV shows or movies that you saw and you're like, what, like this fever dream of a TV show that I used to watch, you look it up and now the internet allows you to like rewatch and re-explore it. But just, it was such a prominent part of pop culture. Like and it still is. Like kids still love Pokemon and lots of adults like still love and play Pokemon. They're best-selling games. What was the second part of the question?
So the second part was, so in-depth view of what, got you into the original series. And well, the second part would be how you believe it's effective, affected, little mistake there, 90s kids and yourself.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's probably one of the most profoundly joyous things in my life. Like, I don't really play the games anymore, but every time they launch a new generation of Pokemon and make new Pokemon, I'm like, I just have to know, look at them and know their names and like, and watch. You know, I like, I occasionally, if the TV show's on TV, I'll just watch an episode. Like the fact that it's just always there and it's always like, I think about it all the time. Like it's just a comfort thing for me. And I think for a lot of people it is. And some of the characters or some of the Pokemon are just such iconic pop culture characters. Like Pikachu is a pop culture icon, the same as recognizable as Mickey Mouse. Possibly more now. And I think it's almost like emotional for me to talk about it because there's something about that franchise and that game and those characters that just feels like home, that feels like you're a kid again and feels like that's what it feels like. And yeah, I think it was a phenomenon for 90s kids. I don't think there was anything like that before. Anime had never been very big in the West before, but suddenly, like, anime was the big thing. Like, on TV every morning, you'd watch Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, Yu-Gi-Oh, Digimon. That's where I got into all that stuff. And just exploring it as time went on, like, playing the games, everything. It's a pop culture marvel. I think it's undeniable that it's such an important piece of popular culture and such an important piece of society. Went to Japan. That was my first ever overseas trip. And on the second day there, I went to the Pokemon Mega Center in Tokyo. And
that would have been really fun.
Spent like $400 because I hadn't yet grasped the conversion rate between yen and Australian dollars. But I just bought tons and tons of stuff. There's a, if you look behind you, Pat, listeners can't see it, but there's a Squirtle plush.
Oh, there is.
That's from Tokyo. Wow. And yeah. Every time I walk into Kmart, I just grab a pack of Pokemon cards for like $7. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to grab some Pokemon cards. I don't know. It's such a part of my life. And sometimes if I'm bored, this is maybe just more like my weird brain. I'm like, I'm going to name all the Pokemon off the top of my head. Like, why can I do that? I don't know. But it's a really special part of my life. And Pat, actually on this show, sometimes I come up with ideas for content. But it's not topical, so it sort of sits on what I call like the bench.
Right.
Like if I'm ever short on content, I'll sub this in. And I've realized that this is the time to do this particular piece of content that's been on the bench for a very long time. And that is that I don't think people remember that in like 1999 – they put out a Pokemon CD, an album called Pokemon To Be a Master. And that album is jam-packed with absolute bangers that I don't think we appreciate now, right? Of course you had the classic Pokemon theme song. Okay, You had that. That was like the standout track, but it was full of classics. The Pokey Rap, very, very big one.
Charmeleon!
War Turtle!
Mewtwo, Tentacruel, Aerodactyl!
Ammonite!
Slowpoke!
Pidgeot,
Arbok! That's all, folks!
Catch 'em, gotta catch 'em all!
Those were the two big ones, but I think people sometimes forget some of the classics, including On the Road to Viridian City.
On the Road to Viridian City.
What a banger.
On the Road to Viridian City.
Absolute banger. Of course, the classic, What Kind of Pokemon Are You?
What kind of Pokemon are you? How do you do the things you do?
This has no business hitting this hard. Why is it somewhat sexy?
What kind of Pokemon are you? You Lickitung?
Of course, the heart-wrenching My Best Friend.
It plays when Ash is huddling his Pokemon in the ice cave, for everyone who remembers.
Know any of these?
No, but there is one song that comes to mind.
Hang on, I've got one more. Then okay. You because this is the absolute banger. I used to sing this at school all the time. It was the Team Rocket song, Double Trouble. Why does it slap like an 80s banger?
Kind of does.
It also is a bit sexual. Team Rocket's rocket. It's blown up. What was your one?
So, again, didn't grow up with it. So, for those unaware, I'm a very, very, very big Weird Al Yankovic fan.
Oh, yeah.
And some may be unaware, but... Weird Al did a song for, I believe, the... for Pokemon 2000, for the soundtrack. He did it. He did a song called Polkemon.
Was that for the... but that was on one of his albums as well, wasn't it?
No.
It was for that movie.
It was for the movie. And it was in the style of his usual polka medleys.
Yeah.
And he just said a bunch of, like, you know, Pokemon names. Psyduck, everybody, Pokemon. That's a real song.
I don't think I've heard that. That's very cool.
You might have to check it out.
So that album's great. Pokemon's great. Like, yeah. Pat, shall we go on to... question number dos?
I believe we shall. This one comes in from none other than Radio Sean. Radio Sean, welcome to the radio family.
Welcome,
we're very glad
Shawnee
you're here.
Boy, Shawnee B.
Sean asks, if you could bring back any TV show for one last season, what would it be?
Oh, this is a really good question. And I mean, I don't know. It's a tough question. I actually think up until recently, I probably would have just said Futurama.
And true.
I think me and Pat were talking about this before, and you said similarly that, like, everything that what did you say?
Yeah, basically all the shows that I'd love to see return are basically back. Because, yeah, Futurama I would have loved to see, but that's currently revived. Thank God You're Here, the Australian improv game show, currently back in its fifth season. So, yeah, we're in a slump of, you know, shows that don't need to be brought back in a way.
We're in the period of shows being brought back.
Yeah, like we're in the golden age.
iCarly's back.
Yeah.
also, can I just actually say as a side note, on an upcoming, or maybe by the time this is out, a released episode of Hamish and Andy, iCarly comes up.
No. No way. Yeah. I'm going to listen into that one.
So, man. Like, what else? Let's quickly just address shows that have come back. Like, when I think of that, I'm like, Arrested Development, that came back and it was mixed.
Yeah, it was very, very rocky reception.
Community was sort of off and on for a bit. It kept getting rebooted.
Yeah, like that's coming back for a movie, and everyone but Chevy Chase is returning.
Which is probably good because...
Much for the better.
Chevy Chase is not good.
Chevy Chase is Chevy Chase.
Cornelius Chase, actually.
Oh, well, there
His
you go.
His real name's Cornelius.
I don't know why he didn't go by that.
Corny Chase. what else came back? Like, Futurama is the master of shows being revived
100%.
Again and again. Like, they did the original, like, four-season run, got cancelled, came back with four movie-length episodes, which were all really good, then went away again. Then it came back with another two seasons, I think.
Something like that,
2014. Then it ended again. Now it's back for another season.
in 2023. Yeah.
That show's just destined to forever get cancelled and then brought back.
I genuinely think, like, Hulu's done two seasons.
Yeah.
It'll get canned from Hulu, and then I reckon in, like, maybe 10 years, like, someone will pick it up again and do another
100%.
Season. 100%. Family Guy also came back.
Yes.
Family Guy got cancelled, and then... This is actually a funny story. Family Guy got cancelled by Fox in, like, the early 2000s after maybe four seasons. In response to that, Seth MacFarlane wanted to make another show, so he made American Dad, oh. which is, like, very similar to Family Guy. But then Family Guy got brought back because people were buying the DVDs. Like, people loved it and wanted to watch it. So the DVD sales sort of rebirthed the show.
Yeah, right? Which I guess you kind of see today in, like, streaming figures. Like, yeah. Avatar The Last Airbender is currently going through a whole revival from Netflix ratings.
Yeah. But so then Family Guy got brought back, but American Dad was still on. So there were just two shows that were, like, very, very similar by the same guy, same animation style, same voice actors running sort of adjacently. And I think Seth MacFarlane's actually said that, like, I only started American Dad because Family Guy got cancelled and then that Family Guy came back. I just think that's great. Avatar's coming back as a live action
both,
series.
Both, actually. I think I should have done some research, but yeah, so a live action Netflix series or some streamer.
Yeah.
And then I believe either a continuation of the animated series or a spin-off or a movie.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, it's coming back in multiple forms.
Any others you can think of that sort of got brought back? I mean, Thank God You're Here, which we talk about a lot on the Pat and Mike show.
Obviously. Oh, this probably doesn't count, but do you remember when Rove brought back, Rove had another TV show in, like, 2018 and it only lasted...
Saturday Night Rove.
Yeah, not a Rove revival, but, like, only lasted two episodes.
Yeah, that show was destined to fail. Yeah. I don't know who was behind that thinking that people in this age, and it was during COVID, I think, or pre-COVID.
Right before.
Just the idea that people in Australia were watching TV... like
in 2019
on Channel 10 in like, it was very silly. Okay. Two shows. There's a few shows that come to my mind. And the first one's a bit of a cheat and it's probably a bit obscure, but I'll explain it anyway. It would probably be not in the way you think, but the TV show Misfits, the British dramedy superhero show. Did you ever see it, Pat?
No, but I've heard a lot of good things.
You'd love it. Basically, the show was about these... It's set in Britain and it's about these five kind of juvenile offenders who get hit by a storm and develop superpowers. But a lot of the superpowers are really shit. And it's kind of like this uniquely, like, dry British take on superheroes where it's like, if everyone actually did have superpowers, a lot of them would just be shit, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the premise. And... was a really funny show, but it was fronted by this guy called Robert Sheehan, who has since, as I understand, popped up in the Umbrella Academy. Apparently, have you seen that?
No, but I've heard a lot of good things.
Yeah, he's a main character in that. And Robert Sheehan, the show went for five seasons, but Robert Sheehan left after the second season. And he was definitely the spirit and the, like, comedic center of the show. So when he left, it was really sad and a lot of people switched off. And
you're right.
I watched till the end, but I do think it declined in quality as it went on. However, I would like to see... The light just turned off. Whoops. I would like to see a new season, another season of Misfits where Robert Sheehan's character never left. So, like, an alternate future, because it was leading in this great direction at the end of season two and then he left and they had to pick it up with a new character who was still good, but I always just loved his character's name was Nathan and he's Irish. He was just this cheeky Irish guy who had... It was some really great comedic writing. Like, I thought it was really strong writing. And, yeah, so that there would be that. Following that, I wouldn't mind having, like, it's never going to happen and it's kind of spiritually happened, but I would have loved for Summer Heights High to get another season. Like, and it kind of happened when he did the spin-off series with Jemai and Jonah. Jemai, Private School Girl, and Jonah from Tonga. But
that's
I thought both of them were
really bad. I was really disappointed in both of them.
I didn't think they were really bad, but they definitely weren't. They didn't have the same kind of quality as what, you know, or legacy that Summer Heights High had.
I think with Summer Heights High, which again is Chris Lilley, who I think we're talking about on next week's bulk episode.
Correct. Listen in.
It was three characters who were all equally obnoxious or bad people or frustrating. And Chris Lilley plays all of them really well. And each episode you'd get sort of in blocks, but each episode was half an hour. You get 10 minutes sort of each character. Whereas when he brought two of those characters to their own solo shows, Jermaine and Jonah, and it was just too much. Cause like it was good when it was spread out with Mr. G and the like, but would love to see him just do those three characters again. I don't know if or how it would work though.
My take is with the Summer Heights High thing, because obviously we got the series for Jonah and Jermaine. We never got closure with Mr. G.
Yeah.
You know, I think if Chris Lilley is to do one more project of all the characters under his belt, we need some sort of Mr. G media, whether that be a movie, a show, a live show maybe.
Okay. And because I want to make this into a clip, I'm going to say it on camera, basically what you just said.
Yes. So you're like the guy in school who's like, I said something funny, but you said it louder and everyone gets the attention.
No, but seriously, Chris Lilley needs to bring back Mr. G. I'm done caring about all these other characters. All I want is a Mr. G series that goes all year. And it's just Mr. G. I could literally watch Chris Lilley as Mr. G just doing drama classes. Just do a drama class every week, Chris Lilley. That's all you have to do. People would watch it.
100%.
There is nothing I want more in Australian television than Chris Lilley doing a Mr. G show. Okay? Chris... Okay, they brought back Thank God You're Here. They brought back Rove as Saturday Night Rove. Now bring back Mr. G. Do a Mr. G show. Chris Lilley, if you are hearing this, just do a Mr. G show. That's all we want. That's all we want. Tell him, Pat.
Please, Chris, we are begging you literally. We will pay top dollar.
I would actually, if Chris Lilley was like, hey, guys, I'm doing a Kickstarter for Mr. G the show, I would donate $100.
No, same.
It would be, that's his best character. Like he's got some great.
Hands down.
And we're talking more about him next week. So let's leave it there. But Chris Lilley, do a Mr. G show. Do you have any that you would want to bring back?
Like, I do. I have a couple. I have some. So I'll go by the ones that are kind of jokey slash more kind of afterthoughts. Yeah. But then the ones I genuinely want back.
Yeah, great.
So I thought of a couple. Okay. A lot of these are cartoons, but, when I was a kid, there were two Aussie cartoons that I really liked.
If you say Tracy McBean.
It's fucking Tracy McBean.
Okay. We're not fucking bringing back that. Twicey.
Yeah, that's
He's
it.
Her brother or like her friend?
And I don't know. Saleh he was on that show,
Akmal
yeah.
Saleh
I think that was such a unique premise. Like, I don't know, maybe even just bring back Tracy for some fucking, her back, if they don't do a full show, bring her back for some like PSAs, just put her in, like a nostalgia Gen Z thing.
You have wasted the question.
Okay, well fine, I'll give you the serious
Tracy
answers
McBean.
Then.
Tracy McBean.
All right, here's the serious answers. I have three. First one would be The Checkout, which was a really good analytical show of consumer rights.
Okay.
I believe created by The Chaser, if I'm not mistaken.
Ah, cool.
It ran for
The Chaser is in the Australian comedy group, not The Chaser is in the quiz show.
The Chase Australia.
When I worked for The Chaser, I sent them a message being like, hey, what's with the quiz show also being called The Chaser. Surely you guys had the copyright well before that. And they were like, yeah, someone didn't want to fight it or something. So yeah, because it is a very confusing.
Yeah, thing. I do a day to day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was a very good show. I'd love to see that return. And then the two specifically I'd love to see return are two of my favorite cartoons from when I was a kid, both Cartoon Network. The first one being The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really fun one, kind of looking at like gothic horror kind of parody. And then Codename Kids Next Door, which was the premise was it was these kids who had this secret club, but they were actually secret agents and they had their own like homemade weapons and vehicles. Really cool and creative concept. Both creators have actually come out and said, hey, we actually have some ideas for, you know, one more season or a spin-off thing.
Yeah.
And the creator of Kids Next Door, Mr. Warburton, actually made a little pilot with the original voice cast for Galactic Kids Next Door. One more season, they're in space, because at the very end of the series, Nigel Uno, number one from that series, actually goes into space. And so the idea would be exploring him up there. And then the creator of Billy and Mandy, Maxwell Adams, actually said, hey, I have an idea for, you know, a one-off movie as well. So Cartoon Network, make them, please. That's my, my plea. What's, I don't know words.
Yeah, anyway. Plea. Really good question from Sean.
Yeah. Thanks Sean. Thanks Sean. You should ask more questions.
Yeah. Where are we at? Okay. Yeah. What else do we have another question there?
We do. We have a third listener topic.
Okay.
Which comes in from Radio Willy Wiley.
Welcome Radio Willy Wiley.
Please correct us.
Hey, I'm Willy Wonka's brother, Willy Wiley. Why do you have the same first name, not the same last name? It's a mix up.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a taste of the humor you see on the Pat and Mike Show. Radio, patreon.com/radiomike. Radio W asks, what are your thoughts on the value of games now? When you were a kid, you would just spend all your time on one game. Now it's all disposable. Really great question from Radio W. What's your take, Mike?
I've probably alluded to it a little bit on the show before. I completely agree. When you were a kid, like you didn't, like you just... You didn't have any money, so you just, whatever your parents got you, you were stuck with, right? Like, I just remember on Nintendo 64, we had, like, the Bug's Life game, and I was obsessed with it. Like, I played it all the time because, like, that's the game we had.
The only one you had,
and
yeah.
And it was some shit, like, shovelware fucking platforming game.
Oh, but, 100%.
Like... I think it's hit and miss because... One, back then, like, you don't have as much choice, so you appreciate what you've got. Like, back in the day, like, you might have only had, like, two DVDs. So you just watch those two DVDs.
Oh, my God, 100%.
Like, you don't have any other choice. Like, and then same with games. Nowadays, there's so much more freedom of choice. There's so much more content available. Games-wise, like, you're right. When I was a kid, I used to just love – and there also wasn't that much internet – walkthroughs, and you couldn't YouTube how to do something in a game. So like if you were stuck in a game, you were stuck. Like you couldn't figure out how to do it. Like you were just stuck. So you'd play a different game. But you wanted to like explore everything and find the secrets because you had time to do it. Nowadays, like, yeah, there's a lot more free games. There's a lot more like free services. And I've talked about it before. I love the PlayStation Plus subscription because there's so many free games you can just download. And like, I don't buy games anymore. I just pay for the subscription and then download whatever they give me. And they're usually really fun. And I think it's good because you get to try a lot more games until you find one that you want to stick with for a while. So for me, yeah, there's positives and negatives, but overall I kind of like it better now where you can just try a bunch of stuff and play a lot of different games. And yeah. What about you? Do you have any thoughts?
It's really funny. What was that?
You're not a huge gamer, are you?
I mean, I like to call myself a hardcore casual where you know, there were periods of my life where I was really into it, but then I kind of drift out of it, kind of like, you know. But yeah, it's very interesting how you bring up how you only had a few games and you just play them because that's all you had. Because
Bug's Life. I need more grain. That's what would happen in the game. I need more grain.
I was talking with my partner the other day about how I had this Bug's Life Activity Center game for PC.
Oh, yeah.
I remember there was this this mini game where you had to kind of like direct these berries into the right areas. And there were these two ants. And when the correct berry would go to the spot, it would either go blueberry or red berry. And I still think of that. But no, like gaming used to be, I guess, like for us, right? Like our generation or anyone before, you know.
Now it's for everyone.
Gaming just used to be for us too. We were the only.
Yeah, just me.
Yeah, we were the only gamers ever. Yeah, like, you know, you'd go to EB Games, JB Hi-Fi or Kmart back in the day when they used to stock games, you know. You'd go through them and either you'd buy it with your own pocket money or you'd beg your parents and they'd eventually cave in.
Yeah.
And then on the ride home, you're in the back seat and you're opening up the you know, the cover, looking at the disc. The instruction manual. I remember I got Ben 10 Protector of Earth on PS2. And I remember going through it all thinking, oh my God, this is so exciting. I can't wait to experience this. And then I never got past like the third level. But no, totally agree. Cause it's like, you know, we're in we're in the era of choice where we have too much choice. Yeah. We spoke about...
We were just talking about it on the Pat and Mike show.
Patreon.com/RadioMike. That's the one. But yeah, it's really funny how it's going. I guess I don't really remember exactly how much a game used to be back in the day because my parents would take care of that.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I guess I remember when the PS4 first came out, I was one of the only time I've actually gotten a console on launch. I remember every game on launch was $99. And I remember at the time thinking, holy shit, that is unheard of and so out of touch. But now you see games like when they launch, they'll go for what, maybe 80, 90?
Oh, a PS5 game is over $100 RRP.
Fucking
like $120.
Crazy.
Like, yeah. That's why it's not sustainable to buy them now. That's why I'm just like, oh, I'll just get a subscription, play 100%. What's out there. If you want a new game on PS5 at actual retail price, it's over $100. It's too expensive.
Is it really no wonder that Microsoft keeps, you know, acquiring and absorbing all these gaming companies just to add their stuff to Xbox Game Pass? You know,
yeah.
I think Sony just bought Bungie. Which was a very questionable purchase considering those Destiny games aren't doing too good.
Mm.
But it's like we're definitely kind of, I guess that goes for all kind of media, you know, gaming, obviously, you know, film and television where, you know, Disney's buying everything and whatever. So
conglomerates and
We're in the, I guess as time goes on, mass consumption also rises.
But we're also experiencing mass exhaustion.
Very true.
Thank
very
you
deep.
Thank you for your question, Radio Willy Wiley.
This is literally 1985.
Hey, do you mean 1984?
That's the joke.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to make an exec decision. I reckon we're going to skip ranking stuff today.
Damn.
And I think, because we're going to go too long, I think. So I'd like to go on to, if is that cool with you, Pat?
It's your fucking show. I don't care.
Well, good to know, because I pay you. No. I want to do one of these at least first.
Crazy historical fact.
Mic related. It's a mic related one today. Remember, some are mic related, some are non-mic related. But
oh boy,
I think this one is really good. I think this one, because remember, the idea of this segment is I just tell Pat a story, generally from Wikipedia, I read it out to him and then Pat sort of reacts with either, oh yeah, or like, oh wow. Like, it's sort of like we just gauge Pat. But this one, you know, I was trying to find mic-related stories and this one is mic-related.
Oh boy.
So Pat, do you know the story of Mike the Durable, sometimes known as Iron Mike, whose real name was Michael Malloy, not Mick Malloy, the famous Triple M announcer?
No, I can't say I'm familiar.
Okay. I wonder, I'm going to give you like the headline and then I'll read you the actual story. Because okay. I reckon it's not funny, but I think you'll laugh because right. I know you. Like, okay. Here
That's
we go.
True friendship.
Ready? Mike the God. Mike the Durable was a homeless Irishman who lived in New York City during the 1920s and 1930s.
Hmm.
He was a former firefighter. This is the bit I just think you'll laugh at this.
Okay. You've overhyped it, so if I don't even give the slightest, I'm going to be so disappointed.
He survived multiple murder attempts by his five acquaintances who attempted to commit homicide as life insurance fraud.
Oh, what? That's
so
random.
He survived multiple murder attempts. Like,
that's crazy.
Surely if you want to murder someone, it's not that hard. Like if you really want to,
yeah.
Right? Okay, now listen to this. This is crazy. This is crazy. So in January 1933, Malloy was unemployed, alcoholic and homeless. That's sad. Five of his acquaintances, and they're all named, Tony Marino, Joseph Red Murphy.
Hey, it's Joseph Red Murphy.
Francis Pasqua.
Hey, it's Francis Pasqua.
Hershey Green.
Hey, it's me, Hershey Green.
And Daniel Kreisberg.
G'day.
you didn't do Tony Marino.
Hi.
No, dude, Tony Marino's like, hey, it's me, Tony Marino.
Hey, it's me, Tony Marino.
Hey, don't fuck with Tony Marino, okay? So, later dubbed the Murder Trust, plotted to kill Malloy by getting him to drink himself to death to collect life insurance. Right? Okay, so that's sort of it.
What a life. Someone make a movie.
But like, how about this? Marino owned like a bar and gave Malloy an unlimited tab, thinking the alcoholic would abuse it
and drink himself to death. Although Malloy drank for a majority of his waking day, it didn't kill him. Marino then replaced Malloy's liquor with antifreeze, which I guess is some kind of like, I don't know, poison, right? But Malloy would continue to drink with no problems, right? Then, look how crazy this is. Then antifreeze was replaced with turpentine, followed by horse liniment, and finally rat poison.
Oh my God.
And all of these mixtures failed to kill Malloy.
Wow. So the alcohol must have like saved him.
Marino mixed shots of wood alcohol, which is pure methanol, in with his normal shots of liquor. And this did not kill Malloy, presumably because the normal liquor helped negate the methanol poison.
Exactly. Man, imagine...
How'd you know that?
Oh, well, because alcohol good. No, but seriously, like, I think that's actually a really stupid idea. Because, like, surely when they do the old, like, when they do the autopsy, they're going to find those chemicals and question, who was poisoning him?
How'd this rat poison get in? But I just love that at this point, like, I feel so sorry for Mike the Durable. Like, he thinks he's out with his mates. They're putting rat poison and pure methanol in his drinks, being like, this will finish him off. And he's just like, God. Hey, guys, I'm still having a good time. What should we do next? Should we go strippers? Like, he's not dying. They expected him to die like 10 shots ago and he's still alive. And they must be like, what is going on? Okay, it doesn't end there.
Oh no!
So he's still not dead after drinking turpentine, horse liniment, rat poison, pure methanol, antifreeze. Get this. The group then gave Malloy raw oysters soaked in methanol. The idea coming from Pasqua, one of the guys.
Let's give
him raw oysters and soaked in wood alcohol and methanol. Who claimed he saw a man die after eating oysters with whiskey. And a sandwich of spoiled sardines mixed with poison and carpet tacks.
Oh my gosh.
And fucking Mike the Durable must just be sitting there being like, oh, thanks, guys. This is an oyster. What, is it my birthday? What's going on? This is the most generous anyone's ever been to me. Like, not knowing they're trying to kill him. Concluding that it was unlikely that anything Malloy ingested was going to kill him before the insurance policy ran out, the group decided to freeze him to death.
Whoa.
On an extremely cold night, Malloy drank until passing out. They carried him to a park, dumped him in the snow, and had 5 gallons, which is 19 litres, of water poured on his bare chest. Shortly after, Malloy was rescued by police, who took him to a homeless charity where he was reclothed. So that's another murder attempt he survived.
Oh my God.
Get this. It doesn't end there.
No!
this is the luckiest guy
I'm
in the world.
I'm loving this though. Malloy Law. Do you reckon Malloy's related to this guy?
But then, like, you know, the next one is one where you'd be, like, all of them have been, you couldn't survive that. The next one is one where you're like, you could not survive this, okay? Oh, listen, God, to this. The group then attempted to kill Malloy by running him down with Green's taxi, moving at 72 kilometers an hour.
Oh, that should have KO'd him.
Yeah. This put Malloy in the hospital for 3 weeks with broken bones. The group presumed he was dead, but they were unable to collect the policy on him. He didn't die.
Wow.
Now, the sad ending to the story is that they did keep trying kill him. Which
that's
is
so sad.
And the way they did it, actually, I don't want to say how they killed him because it's not nice. But
research on your own.
You know, very, very, very like crazy story. Like, I just think poor guy, but also amazing he survived all of that.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon?
That's, man, like, even though he obviously eventually died, this would make a crazy skit short film, even a feature film. Like, surely.
Yeah, like Mike the Durable.
Who would you cast as Mike the Durable?
Mick Malloy.
Oh, someone's trying to give me bad alcohol.
What's your Mick Malloy voice, Mike?
What's that?
give us your McMahon.
Sports bread, multi, same day multi, same day multi, triple M. Kennedy Moy, what are you gambling with?
Yeah, so that's another edition of
Crazy Historical Facts.
Mike related.
Can you actually rank all of them? Can that be this week? Okay, this week's ranking, just quickly, because we're not going to have time. We were going to do Adam Sandler movies, but we're not going to have time. But can Pat, can you just quickly, do you remember the three crazy historical facts we've done?
Oh, my favourite's still the alcohol
one. No, don't say yet.
Oh.
And I want to rank you.
Ranking stuff. Pat edition. So quick, just quickly, this is the quickest version of this ever. Just go 1, 2, 3.
Oh my God, well, the alcohol one's at the top, obviously.
What's the alcohol one?
The very first one. They tried to put rat poison shit in.
What? No. I'm asking. Sorry, I'm not. I'm not asking you to rank the ways they tried to murder him.
Oh.
I'm asking you. We've done three of these segments in the last 3 weeks. We've done Mike the Durable, Mike the Headless Chicken, and last week we did the 21 grams experiment where he tries to measure how much a soul weighs.
Oh.
Can you? You fucked it. You fucked it. Just go 1, 2, 3. Quick, go. Off the top of your head.
Number one, Mike Malloy. Number two, the Headless Chicken. Number three, the Soul.
And I want to rank you.
Ranking stuff.
Me edition.
Okay. Hey, while I was making these, a bunch of you, I was asking for questions and a bunch of you sent in questions and some of them were sort of more sustainable as bigger topics. Some were just more like yes, no, one word answers. So what I've decided to do, and Pat's going to help me out with this, sure everyone gets to hear their question, I am going to do a rapid fire answer round.
Oh my God.
And Pat's going to ask the questions and I'm going to answer. So Pat, take it away.
Krog asks, what happened to Mike Listens?
So Mike Listens was this album music blog I was doing on another Instagram page. Just overcommitted. Like, that's all I can say. Like, I just overcommitted my time. I would like to do something with music. I actually did a few sponsored posts with that and made a bit of money off it. More money than, like, I've ever made off this pod. So it would probably be a better business strategy to keep doing that and stop doing this. But fuck intelligent choices. Pat, next question.
Krogger asks, when Hamish and Andy eventually get back to radio, will you replace Jack?
That's an interesting question. I don't think Hamish and Andy will ever go back to radio. I seriously, seriously doubt they'd ever do daily radio again. I think if they did go back, yeah, you're right. If they did go back, which they won't, Jack would probably not go back because he's doing another radio show. So he couldn't go back unless he quit that show. In which case it I don't even want to make a call on it. I guess I would be capable of pushing the buttons, but, I don't think they'll ever go back to radio, so it's a leading question.
Ed Gooden, former producer of The Adam and Simon
Notice
Show.
I said these are all one-word answers, and I'm like, yeah, so the
yeah, so here's a whole sentence. good job. Ed Gooden, former producer of The Adam and Simon Show, asks, is cereal soup?
I would argue cereal is not soup. I think soup has to be broth, which is water, which is not milk.
So it has to be liquidy.
No, it has to be broth. What? Milk is liquidy.
Yeah, but soup is liquidy.
Oh, Jesus. Goodbye. Next.
Sorry.
Goodbye.
For
this episode and the next episode.
Oh, sorry. I completely butchered that. Ed Gooden didn't ask that. Annalise asked it.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Annalise. No, it's not.
Sorry, Annalise. Ed Gooden asks, why won't you listen to ballpark music?
Oh, Ed Gooden always wants me to listen to ballpark music. I've heard a lot of their music. I think they're fine. I just think they're seriously overrated. And I used to really like them. Then they did an album maybe in like 2016. I can't remember the name. But it was overambitious. They tried to do way too much with it. They tried to pretend they were like a psychedelic rock band instead of just a pop rock band, and they got way too over their heads. And from that moment, I just didn't like them as much.
Okie dokie. Isabel asks, do you believe in magic?
No, I don't believe in anything paranormal, supernormal, abnormal. No, I believe in abnormal stuff because that's just like, oh, it's a chair with three legs. Wow, I believe that, but I don't believe in magic.
Well, there you go. Bailey asks, can you come to Adelaide?
Who's this?
Bailey.
Bailey. I've never been to Adelaide. Wouldn't mind going to Adelaide. Are you asking me to come just so we can hang out or for like my career? Because I probably wouldn't go to Adelaide just to hang out with a random person on the internet. But if you come here, maybe.
I'd love to go. We should go one day. Yeah. Zoe asks, sauce in the fridge or in the pantry?
Depends on the sauce, but I'd be definitely inclined to go fridge.
Same here, team fridge.
Yeah.
James asks, skincare routine.
Oh God, skincare routine. Claire gave me some serum or whatever the fuck it is, and I sometimes use that, but I wouldn't call it a routine. I feel like a routine is something you do every day and stick to, which I definitely don't.
Speaking of Claire, she asks, are you into cheeks?
I'm into cheeks a lot.
There you go. Nick Schaefer asks, cashews or walnuts?
Ooh. Probably walnuts. What about you?
Definitely cashews. Salted.
Really?
Oh, so good.
Actually, you know what? Salted cashews, amazing.
I want to buy some cashews now.
I do too. And pistachios. I want to buy a bunch.
Buy some after this?
Yeah, we're going to get nuts after this.
This show is not sponsored, but we want it to be. No. Scooter asks, are you going to do Harry Potter and the Boys live in London? You probably need a working visa in order to actually do that.
If there were people in London who would come and see it, like, I mean, not, the answer is no. I mean, I'm currently in London right now. No, I'm not doing it. But if there were enough people who wanted to see it, I'd do it. Sydney would probably be the next bet for a live show, though.
Very fun. Sammy asks, what's the time?
The time right now is 3:35 p.m. The right now of recording. And I'm going to guess when you're listening to this. And if I guess it right, you owe me something. Hang on, let's start the music up again. And I reckon when you're... No, I'm going to get... Like, listener, if you are listening to this and it is currently 7:22 p.m., let me know you've won a prize.
All right, and
there is no prize.
Finally, Lord Scunge, amazing name, asks,
hey, Scungy.
Predict the news when a particular poddy is going to be dropped.
Oh, so like predict the news right now. Hopefully not Australian tourist dies at Harry Potter studio tour after giant Dobby statue falls on him. I would hate that. Okay, what's something that could happen in the next month? Let's say... I mean, there's a few obvious ones. Like, I'm sure there's
maybe someone gets absorbed.
More to come on the Trump impeachment stuff. There's probably more to come on, like, the Commonwealth Games being cancelled, which no one can apparently get over. Like, just who cares, guys? It's over. I'm going to call it... Oh, God. Box. That's a Patton Mike reference.
No, Patreon.com/RadioMike.
I'm going to say, here's what I'm going to say. I'll make a prediction on the AFL Grand Final, which will probably be around this time.
Carlton.
I'm going to say, I really do think Collingwood will win the Grand Final this year. And I did call that at the start of the year. So let's say Collingwood will win the Grand Final.
Blue sweep all the way.
Carlton's definitely not going to win the Grand Final.
We can dream.
Is that all of them for this week?
That's it.
Great. Well, that's awesome. Let us wrap up this episode. Yeah, that feels about right. With one of these. The plug. Tomorrow there will be a world tour episode addressing, and I probably will also hopefully do something on the Harry Potter and the Boys feed about my time at the Harry Potter studio tour, so look forward to that. I am next going to be over in Ireland.
Wow.
And yeah, I would love for you. Harry Potter and the Boys is still coming out if I did my job properly. There's going to be one more bulk record, then I'll be back in Melbourne the week after that. So yeah, just keep support. If you can jump on the Patreon again, Pat, it would be great to have Pat. Like, these episodes are fun, so it'd be great to have more of these, but... Yeah, Pat, anything you want to add?
Box.
Okay. Well, I think that's about it. I'm going to keep enjoying Europe. Pat's going to keep being depressed in Melbourne. My name's been Radio Mike.
And I've been producer Pat.
And this is the inside of my mind. Oh, God, I'd hate to be in Melbourne or anywhere that's not where I am right now.
Help me. I'm
This podcast was a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to check out all our other content. Stay up to date at radio.mike on Instagram and get in touch, radiomikepod@gmail.com.